Good morning. So another beautiful morning this morning. We have to come worship the Lord. You know, what I have to share today is a question. It's a question and some history and life today, facts today, facts back in the old days. How would my life look walking the Lord's pastures, following the Good Shepherd? I'm going to read Psalm 95, all the verses 1 through 11. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, God is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. Unto them, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. As you walk through the valleys and paths unknown today, it may be just going to church and just being at work or where we are. You will find this is something that Charles Stanley wrote. I just wanted to share it. You will find the footprints of Jesus both in front of you and beside you. And if you would help me with some examples, I'll ask you here in a second for a couple. It's a hill here with the mountains with a path, and there's a lot of, he said about the footsteps that his footsteps will be seen in front of you and beside you wherever you go. I'm just kind of, it's kind of a poor illustration for footsteps, but like in everyday life, in walking in the Lord, with the Lord, like a few of the examples I got are examples and fruits that you could see in the footprints in the sand or in the path in front of you, or when you walk with the Lord. I've got the joy is the first one that I got. And there's many, many words like joy and love and peace, and just a lot of them. I'll write joy and love. Anybody has any other anybody have any other words that that would go with that? Any ideas? Peace and praise and worship. And do you have any anybody has any ideas? Speak out. Of a word that you would, of another one is a faith. What's that? Fellowship. Holy fellowship. Any more? On what side? Righteous. Anymore. You can probably fill the whole board up, I'm sure. I have a mercy and a life abundant. I didn't do that. Oh, sorry, I didn't. Somebody said that. Power over sin. Yeah. Good. So, yeah. Anybody have any more? I'm sure there's a lot of them that we could write up here. So, yeah. So yes, you got the idea of what I was getting at there. And speaking of joy, I have another quote here that was Paul Washler. Is one of his key quotes out of one of his sermons that I want to share. Is it says, "Joy comes more obedient." Sorry, joy comes before obedience, rather than after. If you don't understand that, you will be really messed up all your days. Joy is not the result of obedience. Joy is a result of what God has done. So now you can fix you fix your joy. Your joy is fixed, and you have a stable source, Jesus Christ of joy. Is your joy in your joy is in the Lord. When your joy is based on performance, it's going to be up and down like the wind, like the raging sea, double-minded, mutable, and constantly changing. So what I was thinking when you, is just an example, when you don't always do things quite right, don't let what others say steal the joy in the Lord from you, and don't let your mind get fixed on all your mistakes either. God doesn't require a performance. He wants a heart of compassion. So, I want to get on with the subject with the life of a shepherd and in the biblical times. The shepherds followed the rhythm of nature rather than the clock. Rising before dawn, the shepherds would lead their flocks from the sheepfold to fresh grazing lands, carefully selecting routes that offered both nourishment and safety. It usually works best and is refreshing to, like in my life, that for you know, we like to rise early and get up and see this, being the sun, watch the sunrise, and just meditate and commune with the Lord. The good shepherd who sacrifices his life for his sheep, meaning us. The word shepherd is used many times in the Bible. The Hebrew word for shepherd is poimen, is one I found in another is ra. The definition is to attend. It's a companion, a guide, or a guard. The same as what we need Jesus for today. The life of a shepherd is an arduous journey. It's compared to a straight and narrow path requiring endurance and perseverance. It's not a leisure walk, as we can read in Matthew 7:14. The King James Version is, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. The Amplified of that verse is, but small is the gate and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life, and there are few who find it. The shepherds had to travel over mountain passes and through rocky, hilly countryside to find enough pasture. Back then it grew in thin, small clumps and small areas where it grew, where the grass grew, because it was a very dry land. So they had to move constantly. If it wasn't for the shepherds that knew the land, the sheep would perish or would die. They wouldn't be able to live. They'd starve in that land. It was pretty desolate in areas that they had to move around a lot. So they depended on their master to survive, much as we depend on our master today, the Lord Jesus, to live. We have life. John 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Amplified says, Jesus replied to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me as Savior will never be thirsty, for that one will be sustained spiritually. The reality of the bare pastures of Judea, the bare pastures of Judea is what inspired Psalm 23. I've got a few different snatches of Psalm 23 throughout here, symbolizing that God provides enough for today, our daily bread. The small patches of grass on the barren rocky hills, it symbolizes God is our, he's our, takes care of us, and he gets us what we need each day. The small, what all we need is, he gives us all we need each day. Rather than an indulgent in abundance, we gotta, sometimes it seems like we have plenty. Here today, it seems that we live in abundance of everything. We have comfortable couches and beds to lie down on, nice warm homes, and not wet caves that, like the shepherds used to live in. They slept outside or in caves or wherever. If we follow Jesus, we shall not want, as Psalm 23. The flocks needed to move up the 5 mile a day to find enough food for the sheep, and they would be allowed to feed and graze in fields after the harvest and feed on leftovers and helping to clear the fields. So the shepherds were the sheep in a, they're in Judea, in the area of like Bethlehem, I think. There was a lot of those shepherds were, had their work was to raise sheep for the Passover and stuff that they had there once to offer up. The shepherd's equipment consisted of a rod and staff and a sling and a script or a bag. So that's what I brought this for, just the illustration. These were around 6 foot tall. They used the hook to grab a sheep when it was down in a ravine or something, or in the water. The sheep was really dumb. They'd drown in the water if they fell in. They didn't know better. That's what the shepherds were, had a job to do. The rod was a stick. I think it's kind of like a club. They carried it with them for wolves and bears, whatever they would try to attack them. The script was a leather bag that carried their food in. They traveled many miles from home and slept in caves, and they lived simply outside under the starry night skies. with campfires, such as the night when the new star was born in Bethlehem. The staff was used to guide the sheep and rescue lambs that got lost. That's what it's that went astray from the flock. Like an example of it's an example of David. You can read in Samuel that his he used the rod and his staff, and he used that as his protection from the bears and the wolves. He actually killed some bears and wolves. Also, the staff is an example. We are accountable in the church body for one another today, submitting to the body God's rod and staff, which brings spiritual correction and comfort and struggles that the Bible says we will face in this life. If we submit to the local body of believers, we can experience living in spiritual abundance, living with goodness and mercy, and following them all their days as the cup runneth over, experiencing pleasures found in God's presence, walking humbly in obedience and holiness. In short, a life in the Lord's pastures demonstrates a faith over fear, righteousness over sin, and contentment in His presence. And a little more on the history on shepherds and Jesus and Sarah. The shepherds were considered as ritually unclean and disqualified from testifying in court, often considered lowly and smelly. They're unclean people. They were just kind of a lowly class of people. Despite the low social status of a shepherd, Jesus portrays himself. He used those people the Bible's got a lot of examples of a shepherd in it. But he, despite the low social status of a shepherd, Jesus is often portrayed as a shepherd. Yeah, we can read the shepherds were the first to receive the news of Jesus' birth in Luke 2. He used those people for a lot of important things, and he didn't go to somebody that had a big fancy place and they had a higher status. There was in the same country a shepherd abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by the night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring the good tidings of the great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Why did Jesus choose them, the shepherds? This is just kind of something to meditate on, I guess. I've often thought of it, just why he used. There was actually one place I read there was not considered to be honest all the time. I'm sure they weren't all that way, but it's just that what people ran into with them. He didn't go to a higher sect of people, like being born in a stable, in a manger, or a smelly barn. There were a few pleasantries for Mary, if any at all. How would the world cope with that today? How would we cope with that? Me myself, actually, when we go to visit, there's a baby born, we don't even think of finding conditions of a barn. That, you know, it's that baby was born in a smelly barn. Baby Jesus was. That was the animals are all around him, and it was a. You're in Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. People like to have a status of themselves. And I wrote here, Christian status is a follower of Jesus Christ, considered righteous, forgiven, and in the beloved. It's an identity of Christ, a life turning away from sin daily and toward love and service. So let's be careful not to let the statuses of the world be mixed in with our Christian status, as Satan can easily blind us to this. In closing here, the shepherds led their sheep, and they didn't drive them like modern ranching. They chase them, and they use four wheelers and stuff to chase them around and catch sheep. And the shepherds walked ahead of the sheep and calling them to follow, and the flock learned to recognize their voice. And that's how we can be today, is we can be an example. We can lead by being an example. Just be a godly example in wherever we are, and so others can see and that they would desire to follow or find out what you're doing. Doing good and many more things you can do. We know there's a lot of examples. John 10, verse 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. The Amplified says, the sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never, ever, by any means, perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. So, if you're in here today and we desire to follow Jesus, or if we feel a tug to surrender, if we hear the small voice, just pick up the cross and surrender your all to Jesus and deny self and repent and be baptized and follow Jesus faithfully. Your shepherd, follow Jesus faithfully. Your shepherd, he will take good care of you. In John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and not only just life, he says, that they might have it more abundantly. Then I'll read here in Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. In Psalm 79, verse 13, so we thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. So, that's all I have today in this Hopia. I was just inspired by what I applying this to my life and just using it for my own guide. Yes, so God bless.